Today we are going to be looking at the Gospel of John. Last week we looked at 2 John, one of the letters of the Apostle John. But today we're going to be looking at his Gospel and be looking at chapter 3, verses 22 through 36. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray this morning that you would bless this reading of your holy word. Amen. Please listen to God's word. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing at Aenon near Salim, because there was plenty of water and people were constantly coming to be baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, well, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him." To this, John replied, "A man can receive only what is given him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth, and he speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. The man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. Today we're going to be looking at this passage that deals with John the Baptist and his activities and his comments about Jesus. As we begin this passage, we learn from verse 22 that Jesus and his disciples left Jerusalem and went into the Judean countryside. So in your mind, you can imagine the rolling hills, the rural landscape that Jesus is now entering into. The Apostle John tells us that Jesus was there with his disciples baptizing people. In verse 23, John the Gospel writer notes that John the Baptist was baptizing at Aenon and Salim. These two places were also in Judea. John the Baptist was present, and he's baptizing people there, and his disciples are also there with him. And we learn from this text that John the Baptist's followers had gotten into an argument. They had gotten into a verbal spat with a Jew over ceremonial cleansing. We don't know the exact details of the dispute, but it's clear that there was some commotion about this issue of ceremonial cleansing. These disciples of John the Baptist, we also learn they're upset. They're upset that people are flocking away from John the Baptist and going to Jesus. John the Baptist, in our text, makes a specific response to the to his own disciples who are upset that people are going to Jesus and not John. Notice here that John speaks to his disciples like Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. In verse 27, he notes that no one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. This should be familiar to us as we think of Jesus' words to Nicodemus. In verse 31, John the Baptist says, Jesus has come from where? From above. But we are from the earth, and we speak of earthly things. John the Baptist is contrasting here Jesus' heavenly identity with his own human identity. In verse 28, he states bluntly, "I am not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of him." Another way that this can be translated is, "I am not the Messiah, I am only here to prepare the way for him." To try and help his followers understand, John the Baptist uses the illustration of the groom and the best man. John the Baptist is like the best man. He's preparing the way. And then he says something that's very important, and then we need to understand, and we need to listen to all of this passage, but we need to especially be listening here. John the Baptist says, "Jesus must become greater, and I must become less." As we think of that this morning, we need to think of our own lives, and we need to remember that we need to be exalting Jesus, and we need to be thinking less of ourselves. We need to have less focus of our own self as we think of our walk with God. If we're truly going to walk with God, if we're going to exalt Him, if we're going to be praising Him, we need to be thinking of ourselves less. C.S. Lewis said it very well. He said, "Don't think less of yourself. Just think less of yourself. Think of yourself less." I always get that messed up. Sorry. But the point is that as we live our lives for God, you know, one of the spiritual traps that we can fall into is pride. You know, we go to church, we do various ministries, we have maybe a leadership position in the church, and the trap is that spiritual pride can develop in us, and that can cause us to lose focus. We can be exalting ourselves rather than keeping the focus on Jesus Christ. And that's the responsibility of the church. Our goal at Avery is not to be, a Jeff-centered church or a David-centered church, but to be a Christ-centered church. That's what we need to be about. And we need to be cognizant of the spiritual trap of spiritual pride. So that's a very important part of this text. We also learn in verse 32, John the Baptist tells us that there's something going on. Despite Jesus' ministry, despite his own ministry, there is a lack of belief. The Old Testament made clear the predictions about Jesus. John the Baptist, in his own ministry, witnessed to the coming Christ as best as he could. And yet we read here that there was a great lack of belief. People were not responding. In the Gospel of John, belief is lifted up not something, not merely as intellectual assent, merely saying, "Hey, I believe in God," or "I believe in Jesus." But belief for the Apostle John means something more. It involves acceptance of Christ. It involves an intellectual assent. "I do believe." But belief involves more. It involves our day-to-day living. It involves a daily walk. It involves living for Him in our workplace, wherever we go. This is what belief is really like. Even though this is something that's hard for us to do, true belief is about following Jesus day by day and exalting Him in our lives. Notice in verse 36 how John the Baptist contrasts the words believe, John contrasts here the words believe and rejects. And he says here, he writes, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life." As we think about this word rejects here, what we need to understand that he's talking about is another word that could be inserted here, and some translators insert the word obey. So belief involves obedience. Or in other words here, if you believe, you will not be disobedient to God. You will not be disobedient to God's word. You will yield to his authority. The New Living Translation translates verse 36 in this way. It reads, "Anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment." In other words, belief here is tied to obedience, and we as believers in Christ must be obedient to Him. This is what true faith should look like. This is what our walk with Jesus should look like. This is what we're called to. This is how we're called to live as believers. Jesus' opponents believe he existed, but they refused to follow him. They refused to obey him. So mere acknowledgement of Jesus is not enough. We must truly recognize him as our Savior and Lord. There's a great story that I think helps illustrate this that I love to tell. It's a naval story. It involves a naval captain of a ship, and he was sailing his ship, and he saw through the fog that there was another ship approaching him, and he said to the other ship, "Move 10 degrees south, or we're going to crash." The other ship responded, "I shall not move. You move 10 degrees north so you don't crash." The naval captain was getting irritated and said, "Don't you know who I am? I am a captain of the United States Navy. You move 10 degrees north so we do not crash." But the voice came back, "I shall not move. You move 10 degrees north so that you don't crash." The captain got back on the speaker and said, "Did you hear me say that I am a captain of the United States Navy?" The voice came back, "Yes, but I am the lighthouse." Now, I love that story. I love that illustration because it reminds us who has the authority. See, you and I, we like to go our own way. We like to do our own thing. But what the text of Scripture, what God's Word is reminding us this morning, is that we need to yield to Him. If we are going to believe in Him and have faith in Him, we must yield to Him. And we must obey Him. This is what being a Christian is all about. Walking with Him on a daily basis. Is this easy? Is it easy, Austin? No. But this is what Scripture calls us to do. And this is what John says is true faith. As we think about how to do this morning, I want to suggest to you that the way that we can do this is to set our minds. To set our minds. There was a gentleman who was walking around Hong Kong, and he happened to walk past a tattoo parlor. And he saw there on the tattoo parlor different designs that a person could get. And one of the phrases was, "Born to lose." And he thought, who would want to get that tattoo, "Born to lose"? So he went into the tattoo parlor and he asked the artist, he said, "Do people ever get that?" And he said, "Yes, some people do." And he said, why in the world would anyone ever want to get that tattooed on their body? And the tattoo artist responded in broken English, and he said, "Before on body, on the mind." Think of that. If we're truly going to obey Jesus, we need to set our minds. We need to begin Monday morning saying, "Lord, I am going to yield to you, and I am going to follow you, and I am going to follow your word." This is what John wanted his readers to understand. And this is what God's Word is saying to us today as well. May we apply this portion of God's Word to our own lives, and may we truly exalt Him in our lives, and may we truly live for Him in our day-to-day lives. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray this morning that our hearts would be renewed. Lord, we know that there are times when we fall short, when we don't obey. But Lord, we pray this morning that you would just remind us of your great love for us and that you have forgiven us. And Lord, help us to leave here today seeking to encourage one another with your word. Help us to build each other up. And Lord, we give you thanks that Avery is such a great family. And Lord, we were reminded of that last night, that we do have a great family here and that we are your people here in this place. Lord, help us to help one another and help us to lift up each other as we seek to follow you. We pray all this in your name.